Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Joe Louis, Floyd Mayweather. That's a short list of some of the greatest fighters of all time. But today, there's a new contender, a woman. Her name is Ronda Rousey, and a lot of people think she is the best mixed martial arts fighter the world has ever seen. When Rousey burst onto the MMA scene 5 years ago, she blew through her competition. In fact, she won almost all her fights in under a minute. She'll put her undefeated streak on the line next week, headlining a pay-per-view event that is likely to be watched by millions. But for all her success, Ronda Rousey's path to the top was not easy. She sat down with Charles Monroe Kane recently to talk about her new memoir, My Fight, Your Fight. She said she's been fighting for as long as she can remember.
I mean, yeah, my first day of school, my dad's advice to me wasn't like, you're going to be fine, everyone's going to love you. It wasn't that. He looked at me and said, Ronnie, if anyone hits you, hit him back.
How did that go?
Nobody hit me.
Now, eventually you had some bully run-ins. What'd you do about it?
Yeah, when I was like, it was more when I was older, like middle school age, I started getting bullied. And I just didn't walk with my head down. And so certain kids would mess with me and not expect a reaction back. And I was always taught, someone hits you, hit him back. And so this boy like tried, he like grabbed me by the throat, I remember, from front. And just as a reaction, I just threw him, like decked him out on the pavement. He snapped his head on the ground, and like some other girl ran from like the side of the yard and was like, that was amazing, I saw the whole thing. And then I was just like, I gotta go to class. I just needed to leave the scene.
Now, your mom comes across as a serious badass in your book. I love her. Tell me about her. What's she like?
Well, she is a serious badass, actually. She's just the most motivated and indomitable person I've ever met in my entire life. And I lucked out a lot while having her as a mom.
You know, there was a time, I love this story, you broke your foot and your mom made you run laps on it. Anyway, it was like she was like unwittingly training you to be a professional athlete.
No, it was on purpose. I told her I wanted to win the Olympics, and she was like, well, guess what? If you break your toe on the day of the Olympics, you got to function. So you better learn that you can.
And you obviously took it very seriously because you advanced up the ranks of judo in an amazing fashion. By the time you were 16, you were in the U.S. Open. You kept training, and it becomes 2008, and you were in the Olympics now. And take me to that moment. What's it like when that medal's put around your neck after all that hard work?
Sometimes there aren't words for things, and it's hard to put that one into words. But I was much more proud of myself than I thought I would be for a bronze medal, that's for sure.
So at this point, did your life just change overnight? Did you get on a Wheaties box? I mean, what happened afterwards?
After the Olympics?
Yeah.
Nothing, man. Nothing. People only care about the Olympics 1 month out of every 4 years. In September, you're nothing to them. And I realized that when I got home and I had no work experience and no education, and I was trying to get a job, and I was bartending, and I told the customer that I won an Olympic medal. And he was like, oh, that's cool. I collect stamps. And that's all it is to people. It's just like a fun fact about you.
Did you stay in training? Or did you just go on a bender? I mean, how did you respond to that?
I became a vegan after Olympics. I was like vegan for 8 months, but there's not much vegan at a bar except for, you know, whiskey. So I pretty much, yeah, I was on my sweet potato fries and whiskey diet, and yeah, I grappled every once in a while. And that was pretty much my life.
And then MMA entered your life.
MMA didn't really enter my life. I feel like I entered it. It wasn't following me around anywhere, but I mean, I'd be working at the bar and I'd see MMA on TV, and I would actually watch it and analyze it, and I'd see mistakes people were making and opportunities that they were missing. And I would just tell patrons at the bar, like, I could totally do that. I would beat any girl in the world doing that. And they're like, uh-huh, whatever. Because why should they believe me?
Right.
But it was really frustrating to know I was the best in the world and that no one believed me.
So what'd you do about it?
Well, I decided I had to find a way to convince everybody I was right. So I started training, and I decided to make that my new mission and goal, and realize that I was so much happier and more motivated when I was on a mission to prove everyone wrong that thought that being a woman MMA fighter had no chance at a career or future or anything.
So you let's go to that one of the fights. Let's talk about the first championship fight, not your, when you got the championship. Tell us about that fight.
It was 20 days short of a year after my pro debut because I made a deal with my mother that if I was going to do MMA, I was like, just give me 1 year, I'll win the world title, and I'll show you that there's a career in this.
Because your mom hated it. Your mom didn't like MMA.
She thought it was a stupid idea. She said, go to college and be an adult. What's wrong with you? So I was in a rush. My first year of fighting, I fought 6 times in my first year.
Wow.
Every 2 months, I would fight, and I would just come out of there unscathed. I would walk in there, I would win in less than a minute, and walk out.
And I wanted to talk about that because I think for listeners that don't know about it, I mean, your fights are like 16 seconds, 30 seconds, you know, 50 seconds. I mean, you would just dominate, and you dominate almost exclusively by doing exactly the same thing.
It's actually not exactly the same thing. To me, it's every single one is entirely different and unique. And if you watch it from a technical standpoint, every single time these girls come up with a different defense and I have a different answer.
Yeah, the knee, I still think about that knee and I'm afraid. That knee you gave last fight, because that looked like it hurt so she was not ready for that at all.
Well, Sarah McMahon, she's Olympic silver medalist in wrestling and undefeated. Like, she was supposed to be, like, my biggest challenge and test, and I always rise to the level of my competition. So if I'm fighting someone at a higher level, that's when I'm at my absolute best. And I knew when I fought her, she was a wrestler, that she never had her back put against the cage and she'd never been hit on the body. And so if she's put in an uncomfortable situation, she's going to revert back to what's comfortable, and she's just going to wrestle. And so once I put her back on the cage, she started wrestling me. And so I was like, all right, you're not going to wrestle. I'm going to start throwing knees and elbows and other kinds of things, because she's so focused on the grappling side that she's not going to be paying attention to those other things. And the reason why that knee worked was because from that position I was in, it made more sense for me to throw my right knee. If I threw my right knee, she would have been prepared for that. I wouldn't have dropped her. But instead, I actually lifted up her right arm to make space and need her right in the liver and dropped her on the spot.
It took you longer to explain that than actually the match took, because the match took 16 seconds.
That match was actually 1:06. But at the time, it was still the fastest women's knockout.
Wow.
And then I beat Alexis Davis in 16 seconds, and then that was the fastest women's knockout. Then after that was Kat Zingano, and that broke the record for the fastest UFC title fight in history.
Wow, that's amazing. So you have dominated MMA for female division. You ended up getting the championship. You're in movies. You're famous. You have made it. So the pressure's off, right?
No, not at all. The pressure is more than ever before, because all those opportunities exist because I am the champion, not because I once was. And so every single time that I go out there and I put it on the line, I stand to lose more and more and more, and the pressure's increasing every single time. But the thing is, I do better under pressure.
You are female MMA. Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. And there's a lot banking on you in a business sense. You have a lot of power because of that. Where do you want to see it go before you retire?
I just want to be able to retire undefeated and come back to watch a fight a couple decades later and watch two women fight for that belt that I fought for the first time. You know, I want to see it survive me. I want to have some sort of legacy.
I have a daughter, she just turned 8, and reading your book, it's challenged me to think about what she needs and what it is that can make her a more powerful woman than just what I think it should be or my wife thinks it should be. What do you think a young girl needs in this day and age to be able to really fully, truly be themselves?
I think they all need an outlet, some sort of an outlet, whether it's playing piano or painting or soccer or judo or learning how to shoot a gun. I mean, it doesn't matter. They just need to find something. You know, when I was growing up, it was like girls sit here and play with dolls and guys go over there and play soccer. And I was like, screw the dolls, I'm going to play soccer. And that wasn't because anyone encouraged me to, but I think a lot more girls would if they were encouraged.
Ronda Rousey's memoir is called My Fight, Your Fight. She defends her championship title next week. You'll find Charles's full interview with her on our website at ttbook.org.